Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 89 of the Padawan Limited podcast, the Star Wars Unlimited trading card game podcast. I am your host, Gil, and joined with me as part of the remaining parts of the trilogy, Rob and Corey. How are you guys doing?
Hello there.
It's always three?
The podcast's always hosting threes, no more, no less. If this is your first time, welcome to the podcast. We've gotten a lot of new listeners actually recently, so welcome. It's a pleasure to have you. If you haven't, please remember to like and subscribe, tell your friends. We always like to have more friends. And just some other logistics. One thing that I haven't done yet is sent out the Chancho Palpatine mat, so sorry, McLean, for not sending it out yet. I've just been busy, but that will come out, and I'll provide you with a tracking number. No cost to you. And also, it's kind of like casually brought to my attention from time to time, but I think some folks don't always remember all the stuff that we have, all the resources that Padawan Unlimited Podcast has. So just as a recap for anyone who might be new, welcome. Again, we have the YouTube channel, but this has always been like a podcast first and foremost. So like when I started this, however many, like a year and a half ago, right? It was just me, right? I really focused on podcasts. So like the YouTube has always kind of been like a secondary thing. If you want to listen to a different format, we're on Spotify. We're pretty much on all the major like podcasting channels. Like, subscribe there, leave a review. YouTube has some stuff. If you like looking at like pack rips and just some of the more slice of life stuff, check out our Instagram. We have a Padawan Limited Instagram. I run that one. We also have a Blue Sky account that Corey manages as well. So if you want more up to date stuff like reprints or anything like that, engage in that platform. You could do that as well. And then if you are so inclined to, and you have the platform for Discord, our Discord community is very active. They're very warm. They're very welcoming. It is a really great space. We share deck lists. We play test. We do all types of stuff. We actually hit now back down to 199 people in the Discord, but we had too many spammers out there. It's crazy. But we're, you know, we I've always like said to people, Padawan Unlimited is really about, you know, slow, steady growth with the right people, right? Our community has been awesome, and it continues to be awesome, and I hope it will be awesome for the next 10 years as this game becomes like a legacy game and the next like Magic the Gathering or Pokemon.
That would be awesome, right? Yeah. Looking forward to those days. Yeah, you can look back here like 10 years later.
Yeah,
like,
episode 89, called it out. Yeah. Yep. And then finally, if you are so inclined to support us in other ways, you can also join our Patreon. I do a competitive, so more try-hardy rather than the casual tryhards that we are here. Competitive podcast, about 20 minutes every 2 weeks, and I'm definitely going to add more stuff as time goes on for this upcoming year, really focusing on improving our Patreon presence. I need to win something big first, and then I'll be like, all right, here's my deck lists. You know what I'm saying? I'm always perennially in like top 16, top 64, top like whatever. I just can't seem to punch through. I don't have Chewy with me to help me punch it. Mm. Okay. Anyway, so let's go down to the segments. Our main segment today is going to be talking about like Galactic Championships and the reaction to the drop that happened on Tuesday, whether it be good or bad. We'll talk about it there. But first segment is collection. Corey, what do you have for us?
Well, I think we've basically gotten the entire set for the most part now. I think there might be a few cards, stragglers. Probably some reprints maybe, but we got our final two leaders, and I'm very curious what you guys think, because we've got two leaders that are quite unique in ways and we haven't really seen before. One is the new Chewbacca, who is a aggression for cost. Now this is different than we've seen before, because you do have to pay his cost.
Yeah.
He is a four cost flip unit with a 5/6 stat line here. So it's very interesting, because his leader ability is, it's going to cost you a resource. So you pay an action, cost you a resource. You defeat a friendly resource and then deal 2 damage to a unit and create a credit token. So you are, in a way, replacing the resource you have to defeat.
So you get at 4 resources, you go back to 3, but in exchange, you get this one resource that can be used for like
a one-time credit, use.
Like a debit.
Ping right. something okay. for 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, and then when he flips over, it's kind of the similar thing where it's on attack, you may defeat a friendly resource. If you do, you do deal 2 damage to a unit and create a credit token as well. So he can keep going and double dip on that potentially. But you are not ramping. You're, in a way, deramping yourself if you spend those credit tokens.
Yeah.
And you do have to flip him with a cost.
As they say in the, as they would say in the biz, they're reallocating the resources strategically. you know what? So, Rob, go ahead. I feel like you have all... You put 2 thumbs down.
2
on
thumbs
the screen,
down. Well, because one for each of them. So here's the thing. I initially read this and I thought it was flip on 4. He's a 4/6. I was like, this is bananas. And then I was like, oh, wait, you have to pay for it. So like when you flip him, you're not able to do anything other than flip Chewy on his turn. So it's particularly if you're flipping early. Right. So it doesn't. I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong on this. He could be like amazing because, like, don't get me wrong, 5/6 stats on 4 is still bananas. Like, that is a huge body to have to deal with. But he doesn't have any other abilities. And if you can deal with him, I don't think he's a particularly effective leader because his ability side really slows you down, right? So you're really wanting to play hyper aggression here, and I just don't know if it kind of pans out. Like, it feels like Saw is the better version of this in some ways, because like Saw's giving you an ability. Yeah, you're sacrificing units for this, but you know, it just doesn't, to me, it doesn't click. I don't know.
So
like
are you saying,
I could be wrong.
You don't think he's valuable as a leader to have or collect?
I think he's going to be like he's going to be a cheaper showcase just because his playability is not going to be high, but it's not going to be bottom of the barrel because it's Chewbacca, right? So like any of the original, the original 3 movie, like mainline characters, those are always kind of sought after. Although we did get the derpy Chewy, like meme continuing.
Yeah. I think that like in regarding Chewbacca, his cards have been hit or miss in terms of usability.
Yes.
I think some of them have been better than others.
One in particular.
For sure. I think that Chewbacca, as a leader for this set, I would want it. It depends. Like, I think also like a lot of people have different opinions on like the card, like have really like middling opinions about his artwork and a lot of these other pieces. Like,
I think, yeah, it's hard to draw a Wookiee. I think is
yeah,
the thing.
His art has been derpy.
I don't know about that. This is Galactic Championship card from last year. Some people don't like it. I love it. I don't know
why it's ugly.
I think it's great. What? What
art is in the eye of the beholder?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. That's interesting. I thought it was fine. I'd want another one of them. I only have one. They're like $30 or something like that a pop. Yeah. But I think his leader is going to be valuable in limited.
Yes, I agree with that.
But I because of that, I think there's going to be value just in general derived from that. I'm excited. That's my opinion, Corey. I think.
Yeah, I'm curious because Cham comes out the next turn, right? And so you can just recover that resource with him.
Yeah.
So there is that ability there. I think he's going to be a little bit better than what we're looking at for him right now, just based off of the things we're seeing. Because getting those stat lines at 4 is pretty nice. We'll see.
If you can keep him alive long enough, I think he becomes a problem. But, you know, again, with the lack of leader or leader-based removal now, maybe it's there.
Yeah. I mean, I'll see. I mean, like, I think it was a good point that you said, Corey. So Champs and Doula. So Champs and Doula is a card from Jump to Lightspeed.
Yep.
Right?
So.
Jump to Lightspeed. And he's a solo red card. And what he does is that if your opponent has more resources, you can put a resource from the top of your deck onto your resource row. So you get a unit plus a resource potentially, which is huge in terms of catching up.
Right.
And so I think that, like, if anything, when people think about these combos, right, we're seeing right now, kind of like a lot of bumps of a lot of different cards and prices because there's like lack of product in the sense that unopened product, right? And people are trying to buy up what's in the market instead of buying singles or instead of buying boxes and stuff. And so Jump to Lightspeed being the older set, right? There might not be as much product in the future. And if you're trying to like bling out your deck, let's say Hyperspace, Champs and Duel, Hyperspace Foil, Champs and Duel, you might see a spike in those prices if you're going to invest in that, which I think it's interesting to see the dynamics of a card and how it can change the market just by existing.
Yep. No, absolutely. And that's something that, you know, you'll see leaders get better or worse as different sets come out. And we got another leader that I want to talk about real quick because it is the last leader that we got. And it is the other two aspects. We saw Saul, which you mentioned earlier, green and red, the aggression command. And now we have a cunning vigilance leader in Tobias Beckett.
Which, funnily enough, call back to one of our early episodes, like you guys were like, this is going to be Emphas Nest. As a color,
I thought that's what it was going to be, yeah.
But it's Tobias Beckett. So same movie.
It was, right? Yeah.
just wrong character.
Just wrong character. Anyway, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
That was funny.
Go ahead.
So his ability and his stat line is he's a 5-flip leader with a 4/6, which is a great stat line for that flip cost, right? His action leader side is choose a friendly unit, an opponent takes control of it, and if they do, create a credit token. So another credit generating leader here. We're getting a pretty good amount of them. When he flips over, when you deploy, you get to defeat any number of units you own but don't control. So essentially, you're giving all of your units to your opponent or opponents and then deciding to just kill them off when you flip over. So when you do that, every unit that you defeat, you get a credit token for.
That one seems like a lot of thinking.
Yes.
I feel like it's like the Admiral Trench of this set or like Doc Afro that you're like, what do I do here? Like, how do I make this work?
Right. How is this beneficial, right? It's like, yeah. Where can I get the most value out of this ability?
I think this leader will make cards like Stolen 18 Hauler way more valuable. Because that card, you give it to them and then you defeat it and then you could get it back kind of deal, which is really cool. Really cool, interesting combo. And, you know, the last time we saw a price for Stolen Hollow was $500 on TCG Player. Like, no joke. I can't believe someone shared that on our Discord. I was like, what? I guess everyone just like went on a buying spree. You know what it is? Maybe it's market manipulation. Maybe they knew this leader was coming out
and
they like bought all the haulers that are in the market.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
It's funny. I thought that card was going to be so bad. Like, because the Stolen, Hans Stolen speeder unit was never played. And it's like, I was thinking this was a very similar idea here. And so, like, I opened so many of those and just, like, sold them as fast as I could. Because I just didn't think they were going to be good at all. Now, with the new sets coming out, you can, as we mentioned, you can see how cards start to rise in value and in market value and is also in power with their abilities.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Gil. I think this one is if there is a line on him, it's too big brain for me to figure out right now. There's the Rio card, which was spoiled earlier, which kind of plays into this, as you mentioned, the AT hauler, which I think plays into this, but it feels like at most you're getting like 1 to 2 credits. Like if you're giving that many units away, you're sacrificing so much board presence and potential damage to yourself before you can do it. I mean, obviously you can do it after you've attacked, and so it's like, you know, they're like there's a little bit of things like you're not going to give away something that's going to immediately come back and hit you, but like it feels a little clunky to me.
Yeah, I'm curious what these dual aspect leaders, how they'll pan out, right? Because we had the DJ, which was a double yellow, but here we're getting two different aspects.
Yeah, so I think the two aspect ones, but different aspects, I think is just obviously way better because you have access to different colors, and then you add a third, so now you have three. You're just losing heroism or villainy, which is, you know, painful, but like there's ways to get around that with like cards now, like and bases, right? So it's like you can potentially use an off aspect card 4 times. In the new set because there's that one cost that allows you to play anything with a penalty or like
any one of the bases
right, so which is gonna be again a lot of these cards, man. Like you got to think like these off aspect cards that are going to come in hard on decks.
Yeah. You can't just see like, oh, hey, they're playing blue yellow. It's going to be only blue yellows and maybe they'll throw some spicy thing in there, but not likely. Here, we're going to see, you know, if we play Tobias, you're going to see a command or you're going to see an aggression card in there. There's no chance you don't. Plus, if they do an aggression base, now you know you're getting three aspects.
Yep.
They could also throw in that fourth one as a spicy take there and then use that epic action. So,
Yeah.
I think in particular, Saw is going to be monster and limited. Like, I don't know how you deal with him in limited, to be perfectly honest. He's going to throw as many like cheap units at you as he can.
It depends on if you get enough non-black or white cards, though, because you do have to pay a penalty for black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. Saw Gerrera is definitely going to be, like, I feel it's going to be top tier. Did you see the showcase for your girl, Aura Singh? What do you think?
Yeah, I like it. It's just, I do wish there was more going on. Like we mentioned with Jyn Erso last week, right? It's like, it's the showcases that have more happening, I think, are just more interesting. This one is just too close up. I would have rather been like further away a little bit and emphasize the sniper aspect, you know, like, oh, there's a sniper and there's stuff going on. And
I feel like it's gonna like the Doc Afra. I know we talked about that showcase, how it's like silver in the background. I feel like it's gonna all blend in with her showcase with the Aura Singh showcase, right? Like it's just a lot of blue.
Yeah, like Lauren too. Your Lauren's showcase was just him standing there with the silver background. There's not much going on besides that.
Yeah,
I feel similar in this way. It's just I wish it wasn't as zoomed in. But I think the artwork is really great. Axel has great artist. So
yeah, I did like the artwork. I do want to see this one in person, though. You know.
But I mean, Aura Singh's got a great arc in with the young Boba.
Yeah,
and she's force sensitive.
We also got another monster that's going to have, I think, downward effects on some droids. Maybe.
Yeah. And I was going to say there's a legendary that we definitely need to the final legendary.
Yep.
We definitely need to mention.
What and Regalis Corey? What? What legendary is this? Is it like a chopper legendary?
Not that legendary, but it's elite legendary with L337
from the Han Solo movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I know you're excited, Rob, because you do play those Piat Boba decks with the droid package sometimes. So, what do you see with this card? Because tell us what it is.
So like L3 is a 6-cost 3/2, so not great stats, right?
That's awful. But, what are you talking about? Not great. It sounds awful, but tell us more.
But here's where it gets good, guys. Here's where it gets good. Her ability is when played, you search the top 10 cards of your deck for droid cards, and you can play any combination costing up to 5 for free. So we're getting a Kelleran Beck-esque ability, or like a Vader-esque ability, Vader from the set one esque ability, on a unit that specifically digs for droids. And I think there's going to be, I think this has got a lot of legs, actually. You know, in particular, like she's a 6-cost flip. She's also blue yellow, which is going to be a very strong combination, particularly, I think, in villainy.
L3 is not blue yellow.
She's red green. She's red green. You're right. She's red green.
You're just talking about Tobias.
You're thinking about Tobias.
I'm thinking about Tobias. Yeah. You know, she's red green. Correct. So, like, red green villain has been very, very strong. And there's a lot of specifically villainous droids that are going to benefit from this package. So, you've got HK from the previous sets. You've got the droid missile platform. You've got, like, a lot of these sort of like, HK is a legendary, but some of these, like, commons and uncommons that are going to come in and be very valuable because on her pull, you're going to be able to play two of them. And so she creates a board presence, you know, three wide, potentially, including herself, which is really, really good. And then particularly in villainy, because she's green, you can pull her off of the attack from Invisible Hand. So you've played Invisible Hand the next turn. When you attack with it, if you draw her or if you already had her in hand, you can now play her. Drop some more droids and, you know, keep it rolling.
We're talking about L3 and why this card particularly is a really good legendary. It acts like legendary. You know, its initial stats are not necessarily really good, but the fact is you can pull multiple units to call that cost up to 5. And the way it's written, right, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, just like Vader, you could do off-aspect stuff.
Correct.
There's no penalty, right? Mm-hmm. So if you decided to have, like, I don't know, like a yellow droid, like yellow villainy, yellow heroism droid that's not part of the color combination, it's in your deck, and you pull it, you can still do that. Which, yeah. So think about the chain. Just like Keller and Beck chain, or like the home one, Keller and Beck plus card, like, chain, you can play your invisible hand, you can pull this droid, you can filter through your deck for two or three more droids. Now you have up to four units on this board, potentially off aspects, which is wild. Like, you could add Chopper, like, mm-hmm. which is, like, completely different. Like, the two-cost yep. Chopper plus another three-cost droid or something. And it's just, it's amazing. I think this card is right up my alley, and I can't wait to spend money and get it.
Yeah, no, I think she's gonna be a staple. I mean, look, any card that lets you chain actions like that is pretty good. You know, we the other one that we saw not today.
Hold on, before we go on to the next card, Corey, I feel like you had something you wanted to say.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, we've seen this with Queen Amidala, right? She comes in and brings two things with her. Like, this yep. is going to most likely bring two things, and if not bring two things, it's gonna bring a beast of a card that is going to be a problem to deal with. Now you have two units, so I'm thinking this card is going to be 20 plus.
I think she's going to be one of,
because it's not a villain or
set.
Heroism card either, right? So yeah. you're not tied to one of those aspects, so you can play.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the Anakin situation.
Yeah, so if you're playing red green and you like these droids, so just now the thing is, what droids are we going to be throwing in there? So
yep.
I'm gonna have to see.
Yeah. So, Rob, finish us up.
I was going to say, because the other part that we have kind of in relation to this is the legendary that we saw yesterday, I think, which was Maz Kanata. And yeah, a lot of people initially like, hey, welcome back, TDR. And to some extent, it's true. Like, the ability is very, very similar. You know, you get to pull a card from your deck. You're searching five deep for Underworld. It comes in ready. It costs five less. So you're like, yes, this sounds exactly like TDR, except it comes on a unit. So, and she's a five cost 4/4. And then you have to attack with her. So if you can ambush her, which there are not a lot of ambushers right now, but, or like a ambush on a stick anyway, right now. So if you can ambush her, then there's some value there, but if you can't, she's an easily killable body with a very powerful ability. So if you can keep her safe and get that one attack off, then it can be very valuable. But, you know,
yeah.
Conversely, like, to this, it's you know, you look at L3 and the immediate power level is kind of there. I initially was like, man, Maz Kanata, that looks great, except there's a lot of steps in the process that are easy to disrupt, which makes I think the value go down.
Yeah, and it has to survive also.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she has to survive the attack. Yeah.
Yeah. Either way, like, legendaries this set are just, like, really good, and it's just an indication of, like, interest for the future. Like, people, I mean, again, anecdotally, there's a lot of people buying more product than they have in a really long time.
Me included.
Yeah. So I'm excited to, you know, to see the last, like, dump of, like, 30 cards, and then we can really get into full testing and stuff like that. All right, let's move on to meta. And, you know, the illustrious statistics that maybe or may or may not be provided. Rob, what do you got for us going, you know, for me to?
Well, I mean, the good news is that regionals are coming up, and I think we're going to see a little bit of a shakeup at regionals. The bad news is if you didn't like Han, too bad, you're going to see a lot of them. The numbers have been pretty consistent. In the last 2 weeks, we've seen the same players. We've seen Han 1 yellow. We've seen Han 2 ECL. We've seen Han 2 blue force, Kylo Data Vault. Like, all the players that you're expecting to see or that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, these numbers really haven't changed too much this past week. It's been pretty consistent. I don't want to say, like, the meta has settled, because I don't actually think that's what's happening. Again, I think it goes back to what we were saying the previous week, where I think what's happening right now is that those numbers are static because we haven't gone to regionals yet. And I think people, like, particularly the big competitive groups, are brewing up solutions to this. That aren't going, we're not going to see until regionals, because it's been so consistent. We know who the big meta players are. We know what to expect. And that really hasn't changed in the last, like, 6 weeks.
Yeah, I would, you know, it's interesting. I was looking at some statistics for the matchups, right? The one deck that is good against most of the meta decks is Han 1 Yellow. But what beats Han 1 Yellow consistently actually is Yoda Data Vault.
Yep.
But then Yoda Data Vault loses to
everything else. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say it loses everything else, but it's tough to get. Like Hantu ECL gives Hantu in general gives Yoda Data Vault a really hard time.
Yep.
Right? It's like the big, yeah, like, it's funny. It's like three different, let's like two different Hans with three different colors or whatever. And then Yoda
and Kylo.
Kylo. And then there's still people who play Piet Red. Like,
yeah,
it's still
well,
there.
It just doesn't go away. Right
so who's there?
Again, I go back to the fact that, look, it's just fun to play. And in a small environment, like a small meta environment, it can dominate. If you don't have an answer to it, it's still very hard to deal with.
How much of the meta for regionals do we think is going to be just the name Han is going to be in there?
I mean, the name Han?
Yeah. How many?
At least half.
You think half the field is going to be Han?
Between the entire field? It's going to be like around the 30% mark.
You've got Han 1 Yellow, Han 1 Green, Han 2 Blue Force, Han 2 ECL. These are four of the top decks.
Han 1 Red Tarkington Town with Lego Pizza. Come on, there's another one coming
Han
in.
Han 1 Red Tarkington. Yeah, that one's a new one. New Han one. You think 50? Okay, so anywhere between 33 to 50% of the field is going to be like Han's going to exist. Is that what you're saying? Oh, you're 50. Corey's at 30. Okay, interesting.
It's like when you look at the stats, it's like these are the most commonly played decks, and it's, you know, it's like the market share of each of these when you combine them up, it's going to be a lot.
You know what? Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I don't know if I'm as optimistic as either of you. I think if I was in a dark horse, I would say 30%, 33%. I think maybe closer to 25 to 30 total Han. And you know why it is? It's because this game is just like people want to play what they want to play, right? Someone's going to bring like a trench deck, a Kaz deck, Obi-Wan, like, there's just going to be like so many people that do like one-ofs that I think a lot of good players potentially are going to be playing day two, like 30 of them are going to play day two for the limited set. So I don't know. Interesting. Okay. I mean, I can see it. Don't get me wrong. I can see why Han would like be dominant. Sorry, Corey. It looks like your face lit up.
Because you're saying Hans, how many blue green villains percentages? We get
25% easy minimum 25%.
I think villain? Kylo's very consistent right now, and Kira is an interesting one as well because of her flip.
And
so,
and the Palpatine deck is really good.
Palpatine,
yeah, but I think it's more Palp Yellow right now. Yellow did take down a couple.
No, not I think team. Plop. Yeah,
oh, plop.
I cannot say Plopatine for some reason. I can't say it. But
so
yeah,
the new
Secrets of Power.
Secrets of Power plot Palpatine.
It's a tongue twister here. Say that five times fast. But Palpatine has been really like on a rise here because of the support he's gotten in the Secrets of Power, and obviously came out in that set. But I think he's a really cool card. I'm excited.
Yeah, I do think there's a window here for Palp 1 Yellow. We kind of talked a little bit about it last week, but the hand disruption is real. Like it has so many ways to disrupt your hand. And, that's one of the things that particularly Han 1 really relies on. And because you're getting rid of resources, to ramp faster, which is what you have to do against Palp, because if you don't, he's going to just dominate the board. So you're having to burn resources, and then he can get rid of the stuff that you kept that you didn't need. So like, I think there's a window here specifically against Han 1 where he plays really interestingly and really well. It's just, how does he do into some of the other decks?
Yeah. I think he struggles when you go wide on him and
because
he doesn't have removal like green blue villain has.
Yeah. You gotta be afraid of the ramp. It also, he's so dependent on ramp that if you can't ramp Palpatine Yellow, it's just it's like auto loss. but that I think that's any big leader at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
It's just yeah.
Well, even Piet, who's not like a big leader per se, but he's playing big things. Like if you miss your ramp, it feels really bad.
Yeah, and he's even getting them out cheaper too. So
yeah,
yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. Who do we think? Okay, so kind of getting away from constructed because there's not really much news there. Do we actually one last question? Top eight. Do we think there's going to be a dark horse deck that gets it, or it's going to be all meta decks?
No, there's going to be a dark horse.
Really?
Would if you're going to pick one, what dark horse, Rob?
You're asking me to speculate here on something that the casual tryhard may not have the info on. But I mean, if I had to guess, I don't know if I can put a finger on it, but it's going to be something that is a specific counter to like Hans. So it's going to be something that it could be a Palp Yellow here. It could be something like that where it's like something that focuses on hand disruption. Because that's the big thing, like, or something that discards cards. Like, I could see the double red, not double red. Han one Tark in town. Where if you start to like put in more hand disruption cards, things that are discard focused, this it could be a problem.
It's still Han, though.
To be perfectly honest, I could see Ian taking this down. Lego Pizza has been killing it with his Han 1 Tark in town, and I do think that it has a spot in here that if there was one card one deck that had some more positive results this past week outside of Ian playing this deck, there have been results of this deck doing well, so I think this could be an interesting one.
I don't think an off meta deck is going to make it to top eight. I think it's gonna be straight up meta decks, like maybe like an odd Palpatine, like you said, like maybe one of the two Palpatines. That's not really, because they're kind of off meta.
They're still not there. The top five, right?
It's not the top five in terms of representation, but I just think that it's a one deck to beat all five or six of these like meta decks is just really hard. The one that does the best consistently against all of them, except for Yoda, is Han 1 Yellow, right? Statistically speaking, right? And so they're just all suppressing each other. I mean, maybe you might see like an Anakin Data Vault from like, you know, OG, like bring it in, but we'd have to see. Okay. So I think let's go on to the last part of our last segment.
Yeah.
I know we kind of club this a little bit more. The reaction to the Galactic Championship, like, news and the release this week, right?
Tickets went on sale, guys. You can go
if you haven't gotten them yet.
Tickets went on sale on Tuesday at supposedly 10 a.m. Central time.
Somewhere in the world it was 10 a.m.
I think they meant 10. I was joking. I was like, I think it's like 10 minutes to 11 is what they really meant.
Yeah.
It's funny because like this just happens all the time with them, but by them I mean like the release of from SCG as well as FFG, like the release of like tickets in the States, or like the, you know, where it's just they can never do it exactly on time.
Yeah. It's crazy how it just happens. Like it's very consistent that you just know it's not gonna be, it's consistently inconsistent is the problem.
Yeah. Even like I think the only thing they were like, no, yeah, like almost all their stuff. At the end of the day, like it still came out, which is fine. Like obviously, like it didn't take the entire day, but people who like had to wait, like so many chats were talking like they missed it because they had to get into a meeting or you know, they had to do something else. They weren't like, they were like waiting there at 11 or 10 o'clock Central, and they missed it.
You scheduled your time. Your time because it's during the middle of a week, a business day for most people, right? So most people are working, and so you have to be like, all right, I need to schedule my time that I can take a break at this moment so that way I can get right in there, get everything done, and we're good to go. But there was the thing that gets me the most is there's no feedback from FFG or Star Wars Unlimited at all about what's going on. It's like, oh, because it wasn't like a 10-minute thing. It was much longer than that.
It was like 45 minutes or something. Yeah. Like,
and so like within that time period, say something. Say, hey, we know we were supposed to be live with the tickets. There's a glitch in the system. We just want to make sure it goes smoothly for everyone. And we will be up soon. But there was nothing. I couldn't find it. At least if there was something, please point it in my direction because I wasn't seeing it.
Yeah, if there was a statement, we're not above being wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's fine. Like, tell us if we're wrong here. But I think, Rob, you want to say something?
I was going to say, believe me, I'm wrong all the time.
It's funny. it's also like, you could some of the stuff that was, okay, it's just, it's a little unprofessional in that sense because, like, they had the testing site up, like, they didn't publish the draft, mm-hmm. but people found the link to the draft form of purchasing, like, the tickets so they can, like, put credit card information in, but it only accepted test credit cards. They were updating the site live as, like, time was happening, and I had screenshots. So I was like, what is this? It's, like, home, quote-unquote, parentheses, clone. Like, they had, like, a ticket up. Like, it was just, like, someone has one job. They're not doing
one
it.
One job.
And this is your flagship event of the year. This is not some planetary qualifier in, like, Alaska where you get six people participating.
Don't disparage our neighbors to the north, okay?
I'm just like, this is your biggest event. It's taking place, and you knew it was happening. Like, everybody knew, you planned for it. So it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, how is this happening again?
You put your social media posts out there, and everyone's like trying to figure it out. Regardless, like, it's the prestige, like, stuff sold out, like, within minutes. Like, it was wild.
The premiere package was gone in like 10 minutes, something
prestige,
like that.
Yeah, prestige VIP, $650, by the way, does not include an entry into the tournament, which is kind of crazy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what? So, yeah, top tier of the Galactic Championship. It's a three-day event. So you're getting a whole, like, big celebration of Star Wars. We went there last year. It was amazing, fantastic. Hopefully, it's even better this year. But you're going to go even higher than last year. I think it was $500 for the VIP last year.
Yeah, this year, $500
inclusion into the tournament, this is $650. No ticket entry into any of the tournaments. You're going to get a lot of the same things you got with the VIP last year, a bunch of promos and some early access, some plastic bases.
You can actually make money with make your money back depending on interest for doing the prestige VIP package or the VIP package. It's, you know, people were selling the plastic bases all four for like $300, $500 last time, $300 to $500. You can sell the VIP deck bod. People are buying that for $150, $125 the day of. You could sell your side of it tickets for $5 a pop. I don't know.
Like, yeah, people are buying the pin for like a good amount of money.
Pins, because there are 9 pins. And because you got to go in first, which is one of the probably the most valuable thing terms of time on this VIP, prestige VIP package. Like, if you get in an hour early, you get online for everything. You get the pins first. Like, you can just.
If there's merch you want, go straight to it and get it. Because I was very like wishy-washy on some of the stuff, and I was like, oh, maybe not. So I got the hats. I got all the hats, but then I was like, maybe I'll get the bag later, and then the bag was gone immediately. So if you want something, just go grab it, especially if you get that early access, because that's what it's there for. And then you also got the breakfast with designers too, which was
also the VIP lounge, right?
Yeah, that was a VIP lounge. And that's, you know, snacks and stuff, place to just kind of hang out if you want to stay close or whatever. Do you think that the spread of packages was appropriate still? They had like the prestige, they upgraded one VIP package. They still have a VIP package for $350. Mm-hmm. They have a premium weekend for $150, general admission for $75, a youth ticket for ages 6 through 12, $40, a single day for $30, and anyone under 5 is free. Do you think this is like, it's almost like Disneyland. Like, do you think this is like right? Like, do you think they did it right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think the spread was right. I only went with the premium weekend package because that got you most of the stuff. Like it got you the mat, it got you the promo cards. Like that was really all I kind of cared about for the most part. Yeah. You know, if you wanted to, but what was nice is like if you didn't want to pay for the early access, but you did want to get just all of the stuff, you could do the VIP, and that was $350. And to your point, Gil, I think you can easily make that back if you're looking to like get it and then potentially sell some of it.
Yeah, I think the VIP was a good deal for people that didn't care about early access or breakfast or anything like that. But because you did get most of everything else. You got the plastic bases with it. You got the VIP lanyard and pin and tote bag and a zip up card album as well. Yep. You're getting plus 20 side event tickets. So
20 side event tickets is pretty good because, again, it's like to me, it was like $5 each piece. So, that, yeah, so you know, just add that value. If you're going to play side events, which I'm probably going to do, obviously, like that worked. The zip up card album seems interesting as a VIP. I wonder if it's going to be like a black, like just like a black.
I just hope it's upside down for you.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it'll be very specific.
If anyone doesn't know what that is, like when one of the sleeves, when one of the zip up like packs came out, zip up,
card binders.
Card albums.
Yeah.
The Star Wars Unlimited was upside down inside the thing. I spent $30. I was like, I don't, you know, I was like, come on, man.
It's, you know, it's like a misprint for you. It's someone's going to pay more for that.
I just leaned into the misprint stuff, misprint life. Like,
put all your cards upside down.
All my cards just like messed up. Okay. So, let's move on to the packages are great. They're fine, right? It's in Vegas, kind of expensive for a lot of people, but if you're local, it's not bad. The events, right? So they actually, on the bottom, they talk about, they have this thing called tournament registration information. And like, it's very unclear where the information is going to be. But they say it's going to be at melee.gg. And then you can actually register already on melee.gg.
Yep.
It's just, I don't know.
It's two separate things. And there's no link from the Galactics page to the tournament page. It's like, how do you get there?
Yeah.
They didn't make that easy at all either. Because like you said, there's a whole big tournament registration information, but there's no link.
Yeah, no link. It says more information will come soon, but you can already do it.
Yes. Yep.
Which is crazy. Like you can already like register. People have. There's one event, the Eternal format, which is like sold out. No idea. And there's only like 129 people registered for 128 slots.
So, I saw that too.
So who's that one person that's just like, you know, they're eternally going to be sad because there are what, three main events that weekend aside from the actual tournament that's leading to the champion. There are three events. It's the Last Chance qualifier, a Premier Open, and then the Eternal Open.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Have you guys had a chance to look at that and what that means?
I did. So the LCQ Last Chance qualifier is the same thing that was the day one event from last year. So it's, you know, if you haven't made it from points, that is your only other way into day two. Although the thing that is interesting about this is that last year you only had to go 6-2. This year you will have to go 7-1, which is a lot more restrictive. My kind of thoughts on this are, you know, and I don't know about you guys, cause you guys actually did way better than I did. The value there was actually pretty decent in terms of if you were going to maybe do side events versus what should I stay in the LCQ. If you got to five wins, you basically got, I think it was another two silver packs, which was an equivalent of like 1600 tickets. To grind out that many tickets in the amount of time, as long as you can make it to five wins, it was very, very worth it. So depending on, they haven't released what the pricing structure and like how it's going to work yet for that. But if it's similar to last year, if you're signed up for the LCQ, you're going to be playing in the LCQ and you think you can get to that threshold if they still have it, it's well worth it rather than like dropping out halfway through and then, you know, jumping into side events. You'll never make the value there.
Yeah.
So you're thinking we should stay in for if you drop the first two, just keep going?
So I think where it comes down to is, like, if you think you have a shot to make it to five wins, like, and that's going to be a judgment call based on, like, what you're seeing and what you're playing. But, like, and again, I don't know if this is still the case. You know, last year it was five wins. They could make it six wins this year. And if it's six wins, that's even harder, right? So, you know, but if you look at it and you go, like, yeah, you know what? I went 0-2. I don't think I got a shot at this to submarine my way to five. Then, yeah, I mean, you're only 2 hours into the event. By that point, it's like noonish. You still have a good portion of the day to go grind side events. And hopefully they won't have the same issues that they had last year. I'm assuming they probably shouldn't. But that's going to be kind of that would be my strategy. Unless you think it's like, if you think you can make it to five or whatever the threshold is, then you stay in because it's going to be well worth it.
I think if it was worth it last year, especially since day one was like, really hard to organize the side events.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm going to assume that they're updating their logistics and how it's being run. So if that's the case, then I would agree with you, Rob. It is better just to it would be worth it just like drop in that sense. If not, it's generally going to be, I think, more worth to keep to stay in the tournament, right?
Yeah.
I think that's it the same way.
Yeah. Again, it's going to depend on your situation and how you feel about like how you're playing. But what I will say in regards to this skill, because like you and I were there on day two and we went through the meat grinder on day two. We just played game after game after game after game after game. And we played a lot of games. I do wonder if there's going to be what I'll say like a slowdown in how those events are run. And what I mean by that is, now we actually weren't doing this. We were actually playing the games. Now we were playing very fast games, but we were actually playing the games. I wonder if there's going to be a little bit of a crackdown on like, okay, we paid our event and then just immediately go to prizing and be done. And then onto the line again.
I'm pretty sure there's going to be a crackdown on how tickets are going to be distributed, on the make sure you play appropriately. Like the judging staff is probably going to be much more, they're going to be more experienced first.
Yes.
So, which means they're going to be more comfortable in how they play or how they judge. And I think there's going to be like you need to sit down and play. Like they're going to like actually check more often than just getting people through. Cause I think part of last year's was that like they wanted to just, they were rushing through because people are just getting antsy, you know, like waiting and stuff. So I think there's going to be, that's my prediction, right? I mean, same. When I went to Paris, right? They manage their tickets using like a digital platform, right? So you can't trade ticket, you can't trade prize wall tickets. You have to keep it on your account. Which I mean,
weren't they trying to do the side events with a digital like sign up thing and having the whole electronic aspect to it?
They had to pay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, this is not working. So like they just threw that out the door.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to see where they go there. But I do agree. I think they're going to try to educate the judges and try to be more on the same page, because I know some judges were doing one thing and some judges were doing a different thing, depending on how lenient they were.
So yeah.
I think they're going to be a little bit more strict as far as like, we're going to try to make sure we're all like, treating this the same, you know, every event we're going to try to make sure it's consistent across the board, because there were times when I was like, this judge is just letting these guys just sit at the table and go boom 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 boom, get three events done or whatever, while others was like, get up go through the line. So
yeah, consistency for experience I think is very important. Whatever that might be.
You know, while, you know, to this point, like while we were able to grind out a lot of tickets, I don't know if we're going to get that same efficacy this time around. Even if we're playing fast games, you know, like intentionally playing fast games, but intentionally playing the games, right? Even there, I think there may still be a slowdown, even from that. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, my strategy for day two, because I'm assuming I'm probably not making it to day two, is that I'm going to have a fast deck that I want to play for grinding tickets, so that, you know, win, lose, or draw, I'm done in 15 minutes. Or less, frankly, to try and get through that cycle faster, but still legitimately playing the games.
Yeah. Now that we're official, and last thing before, you know, the end of the segment, now that we're officially part of like the content creator crew, I'm going to try to run like see if I can do like a panel
You're ambitious, my friend.
That's what I want to do. I'm like, I want to work the event somehow. You know, like I want to help to grow the community in that way. I mean, I compete. I do fine competition. Obviously, I collect. I do fine collection. But like, I really want to like do this. Like, this seems like a really fun opportunity. We weren't official last year, in that sense. But now that we are, I think it would be a good way to help make that event very special. Right. Yeah, however that might be. So, all right.
We should do a meetup either way.
Yeah, I would definitely. Any last minute thoughts regarding the reaction to Galactic Championship news and release this week? Corey, I'll start with you.
Yeah. Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is like, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you guys. Like, Jesus, like we need to get this like going here. If you want, like, as you mentioned before, like you want to be considered top tier, you need to make sure when you say something's going to happen, it needs to happen at that time, because people are changing their routine for this. And when they can't be counted on for that, then people's lives get messed up. They're going to have a sour taste before the event even starts. Mm-hmm. So if we want this to be,
I think it's fair,
a 10-year thing, you need to make sure you're on top of
that. Make sure you set expectations and like meet them, you know, or at least reset them.
Or at least communicate.
Communicate. Communication is always key, right? I don't care if you mess it up. That's fine, as long as you communicate to me, like why and how. You know, that's the biggest thing. How about you, Rob? Any last minute thoughts?
Nerd Parker is going to be sad. There's not an official trilogy event up yet.
I'm sure there will be. yeah, trilogy is a legitimate format, and
it is a legitimate format, guys.
We'll make it happen. All right, guys. Thank you so much for your time, everyone else out there. Please remember to like, subscribe, tell your friends. Love having you. And until next time.
See you in Milwaukee if you're there.
Yeah, see you in Milwaukee. May the force be with you.